He never left the stage, and now 2 years after refusing to accept the results of the 2020 presidential campaign that saw Joe Biden evict him from the White House, Donald Trump is trying to position himself once again at the centre of American politics. Early this morning at his compound at Mar-a-Lago in Florida, he announced his intention to seek America's top political job once again in 2024. Here's some of what Donald Trump had to say.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. This is not a task for a politician or a conventional candidate. This is a task for a great movement that embodies the courage, confidence, and the spirit of the American people. Because this is not just a campaign. This is a quest to save our country. Talking about saving our country. If our movement remains united and confident, then we will shatter the forces of tyranny and we will unleash the glories of liberty for ourselves and for our children and for generations yet to come. America's golden age is just ahead. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Thank you.
So why announce now, while the results of the midterm elections, which saw many Trump-backed candidates defeated in key states, are still being finalised? And how does this announcement impact the investigations into the attack by his supporters in the Capitol in 2021 and other investigations, including the documents seized at his Florida home? Well, here's our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, with more of the drama from the Trump-Florida power base.
Well, the drama has been going on for months, Mary. He's been conducting these rallies all around the country in the run-up to the midterm elections last week, supporting various candidates. But the candidate that he was mostly supporting was himself, of course. Now, he wasn't on the ballot for last week's elections, but everybody knew he was winding up a campaign for 2024, and he was dropping hints, at first not so subtle, and then with sledgehammer-like subtlety over the last 3 or 4 weeks of the campaign, that he was going to make an announcement, and that he said he would make it this Tuesday. He was under pressure from the Republican Party not to make the announcement this Tuesday, but he went ahead and did it anyway in the ballroom of Mar-a-Lago, his members-only club down in Florida.
Do you still wonder, though, Sean, about the timing? After the midterms, still not complete, and he took a bit of a shellacking with the candidates that he backed in the campaign.
Yes, and this, again, does raise questions about the timing. First of all, his candidates did underperform, and in some very important places, they underperformed very significantly and have been blamed very openly by senior people in the Republican Party. Elected members and backroom people have not been shy about coming forward, pointing the finger and saying, look, it was Donald Trump and the extreme people that he supported pushing all kinds of wacky theories about the 2020 election that just put people off, or put enough people off, to cost them places, races that they should have won. And they have also been saying he should not come out now and make this declaration. They've been trying to urge him over the weekend, certainly, to say hang on until after the Georgia race has completed. This is a Senate race where his handpicked candidate, Herschel Walker, the football star, is running against a sitting Democrat. And they have to have a runoff race on December the 6th. They fear that this will just play into the Democrats' hands, because they will try and use it as a sort of a referendum on Donald Trump and say, look, here's the guy who even the Republicans say cost them the elections in the midterm. And now he's backing this guy because he really just wants to get back into the White House. And so that race becomes all about Trump. And they reckon that might make it easier for the Democrats to hang on to that Senate seat as well. So a lot of dissension, a lot of questioning and behind the scenes arguing going on in the Republican Party over this move by Donald Trump.
Could there be other reasons as well? Is he influenced by the various ongoing investigations or worries indeed that his influence is waning?
I mean, the investigations are going on. There's about 20 of them, all sorts of things going on into his business affairs, the Mar-a-Lago raid, which he mentioned in the speech overnight as well, to do with the retention of presidential documents. How close that is to criminal charges being brought is very much in question. And some people think that by coming out early and declaring himself a candidate, he sort of puts off that day of reckoning with the Justice Department, because the theory goes that it would be very difficult for an Attorney General to bring criminal charges against somebody who was running for President of the United States again, in relation to matters that were to do with his previous holding of the office of the United States. Other people, of course, saying, no, no, he's just a citizen. Being a former president doesn't confer any special privileges or legal status on somebody. He's just a citizen, can be prosecuted like anybody else. But I think in the real world, no, he can't be prosecuted just like anybody else. There is a political dimension to this one as well. And so it might push off some of those legal cases that are coming his way, although others are definitely going to go ahead. And one to watch is the one that's been taken in the state of Georgia, where so much of the political action seems to be taking place. That case is moving forward at quite a brisk pace, and that is to do with Trump's attempts to influence the outcome of the last presidential election.
He's not an incumbent president, of course, this time, Sean. He has to run for the nomination. How crowded a field is it likely to be?
Well, there's 9 people who are regarded as potential candidates, and they're all turning up at a convention in Las Vegas at the weekend, an influential Republican Jewish organization. Donald Trump himself has spoken at that event in previous years, but he wasn't on the invitation list this year. Some people think that's another straw in the wind, another sign of part of the Republican establishment trying to squeeze him out of the field. In terms of who the likely runners and riders are, Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, quite populist, quite Trumpian in style. Also the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, similar Trumpian policies, but not quite Trumpian style, more of a stealth Trump. He gets the policies through without attracting the opprobrium of Mr. Trump himself. They would be seen as the two main candidates, and are seen as so by Donald Trump himself, who has been lashing out at them over the past couple of days, calling them all sorts of names, suggesting the name Youngkin might have some kind of Chinese background to it. And of course, Ron DeSanctimonious is the new nickname for the governor of Florida.
And that was our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, reporting. It's 28 minutes past 7. The well-flagged big announcement came in the early hours of this morning. Former President Donald Trump wants to return to the White House and has announced he's running in 2024, his third bid for the presidency. But his announcement comes after a bruising midterm election campaign for Republicans and Trump-backed candidates in particular. His Vice President Mike Pence, a potential challenger, has just released his memoir and told ABC News this week that Trump's behaviour on January 6th had been reckless. Asked if Donald Trump should ever be president again, he said, "That's up to the American people, but I think we'll have better choices in the future." Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is also moving centre stage as a likely Republican pick for 2024. So where to now for the Republican Party? We're joined by Christopher Nixon Cox, New York lawyer and Republican commentator. Good morning, Christopher, and thank you for staying up to talk to us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Great to be with you.
And what is your reaction to that announcement from Donald Trump that he wants the Republican nomination once again to run for 2024?
Well, I think it's surprising that, for one, that he would actually want to run again after everything that he's been through over the last 8 years, really. It's remarkable that he wants it. I think that's the first thing. The second thing is that I think it's setting up for a major showdown between President Trump and Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. And I think that there's a large chunk of the party that wants something new and is going to look to Ron DeSantis, and a large chunk of the party that likes President Trump and will want to stick with him. So it's setting up a real battle between the two. And I think there's a real question as to whomever comes out of that battle is going to be very bloodied and wounded going into a general election. So, you know, it could be a very tough year and a half ahead for the Republican Party.
And in that case, Christopher, what is the impact likely to be on the party if we have it split down the middle between these two potential candidates?
Well, you know, I think that the party will always survive and do well. This has happened several times in our history. Of course, Teddy Roosevelt, as a sitting president, ran against William Howard Taft and Woodrow Wilson on the Bull Moose Party line, giving the election to Woodrow Wilson around the turn of the 20th century. So these things have happened before, and the party's gone on and survived and done very well. So the long-term view of the party, I think, is quite strong. President Trump, when he first ran 2016, brought in a lot of voters who typically didn't vote Republican or didn't vote at all. And of course, that's a good thing for the party. Growth is a good thing. But, you know, in the short term, I think it's going to be a very difficult and trying time for the party. And hopefully whoever emerges as the nominee will be able to have a good run against President Biden. And I think a lot of the short term fortunes of the party will depend on where the economy is, where the state of world affairs are, and how that looks in 2 years. If Americans are unhappy, they will throw out the president in power. And of course, that would help the Republican Party.
But Christopher, have you ever had anything like this before? Have you ever had the MAGA movement before? And the way that his base believes that the election was false in 2020, they don't accept the result. And that's having an enormous impact on democracy in the United States.
It is having an enormous impact. But, you know, we're going through very strange times. And I think that the fact that there's a refusal to accept the election results very much dovetails with other grievances that President Trump's base has had, including that many of them have been left behind out of, you know, with the good economic times that the country experienced over the previous 20 years, 30 years. Many of his supporters feel that they've been left behind, that it was the elites that were out to get them. And so this is just a continuation of that list of grievances. And, you know, unfortunately, it involves our democracy and voting and elections. And of course, that's something that isn't very good. But, you know, this voter feels left out, and Donald Trump speaks to them and represents them. And those people want to have their voices heard. And in democracies, people's voices do get heard. And President Trump is their vessel.
You've mentioned DeSantis as a possible challenger to Trump for 2024, but there will be others. Is it likely to be a crowded field?
I think the field will be somewhat crowded because I think that there is a third lane. There's, of course, the Trump lane. There's the DeSantis lane, which is another variation of the Trump lane. It's Trump without Trump. And then you have a third lane, which is you're watching two scorpions in a bottle go at each other, pounding away at each other. And there could be a third lane for someone to pop in as a new, fresh voice and run ahead of the two heavyweights going at each other. And I put in that lane people like Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, you know, maybe one of the governors that is a little bit lesser known. And I think that, again, it's someone who generally supports the positions that President Trump had during his administration, but isn't anti-Trump. I think the anti-Trump lane, the anti-populist lane, is very crowded and very small in the Republican Party. So I think there may be a few of them in the race, but they won't be very effective. So I think it'll really come down to whether it's Trump, DeSantis, or someone like them who sort of can survive Trump and DeSantis going at each other and thrive off of their repeated attacks against each other.
Christopher Nixon Cox, good to talk to you. Thank you very much. 27 minutes past 8.